Hello and welcome to Sound Body, a weekly program of information on health topics and ideas that can help you live life to its fullest. I'm Louise Craig. The National Geographic special issue, Healing Remedies, was written in its entirety by Tyrona Lowdog, MD. She studied midwifery, herbal medicine, massage therapy, and martial arts before earning her medical degree. She is described as an internationally recognized expert in the fields of integrative medicine, dietary supplements, and women's health. She's been an invited speaker to more than 550 scientific or medical conferences and has published 40 peer-reviewed articles, written 22 chapters for medical textbooks, and authored 5 books herself. Today, we will read from the second chapter, which is titled Common Ailments, starting in the Caring for the Nervous System segment. The human nervous system is an exquisitely complex information highway that controls all of our biological processes, movements, and thoughts. Because of its vast reach in the body, I feel it's important to focus in on one primary area, how the body responds to stress. It's not that stress is bad, it's our response to it that determines how it will impact our health. What we know is that the consequences of sustained levels of cortisol, the stress hormone, increase our risk for obesity, heart disease, diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, heartburn, low libido, infertility, hypothyroidism, infection, delayed healing, and even certain cancers. Scientists believe that prolonged elevation of stress hormones may shorten our lifespan by 15 years. There are myriad ways you can increase your resiliency or your ability to cope with the ups and downs of life. Eating a minimally processed diet, practicing daily meditation, spending time in nature, exercising regularly, listening to music, cultivating healthy relationships, extending forgiveness, and finding contentment all help to dampen the body's stress response. You'll feel calmer and more relaxed, and no matter what problems you're dealing with in your life, you'll cope more effectively once you have learned to center and ground yourself. Nothing can replace a healthy diet. The more stressed you are, the more likely you are to go for the junk food and sugar. Although this might temporarily make you feel better, you're fueling the fire. Make a conscious effort to ensure you are getting plenty of healthy protein, such as fish, chicken, eggs, dairy, soy, beans, nuts, and seeds, and avoid high glycemic load foods, such as white rice, potatoes, white bread, and sugary foods and drinks that will just exacerbate blood sugar swings. And if you are under a considerable amount of stress and don't always eat right, you might want to consider taking a multivitamin to ensure that you are getting adequate levels of nutrients to ensure a healthy nervous system. Deficiencies in folate, vitamins B6 and B12, iron, and zinc can all contribute to fatigue and a depressed mood. Omega-3 fatty acids are also vital for maintaining a healthy mood and countering the adverse effects of stress. You can learn to manage your stress without the use of prescription drugs. In addition to all the lifestyle choices I've listed, I want to share with you the abundance that nature has offered to help us better cope with stress, relieving anxiety, lift our mood, improve our sleep, and ease our pain so that we can fend off many of the more chronic conditions that will need medical intervention. Nature has blessed us with many herbs that have a soothing effect on our nervous system and that help our bodies cope and adapt to stressful situations. It is extremely rare for me to see a patient whose health has not been compromised in some way by an inability to deal with stressful people and events in life. This is why I almost always recommend 2 classes of herbal therapies, nervines and adaptogens. At its most basic definition, a nervine is simply an herb that has some effect upon the nervous system. This category of plants is broken down into 3 categories based upon the physiologic effect of the herb. Nervine stimulants. You probably had a dose this morning. Caffeinated coffee and tea are classic examples of this class. I seldom recommend the daily use of herbs such as yerba mate, guarana, coffee, or tea, as many people already consume them, and most people are already overstimulated. However, herbs like peppermint, rosemary, and ginger are also nervine stimulants. While they enliven and awaken the nervous system, they do not overstimulate it. Nervine relaxants. These are the herbs that have a calming effect upon our nerves. Their effects range from mild and gentle, such as chamomile and lemon balm, to the more powerful sedative plants like hops and California poppy. I rely heavily on these plants in my practice, choosing the one that most closely fits the person's constitution. Here are some insights into the personality of a few of the nervine relaxants. German chamomile is one of the best herbs for those who hold stress in their digestive tracts and skin. Chamomile's anti-inflammatory activity eases eczema and digestive upset, while its antispasmodic effect quiets irritable bowel. It is the primary herb used for infant colic. Lemon balm is for the social butterflies among us who become irritable and cranky when they don't have enough downtime. Lemon balm is for overstimulated extroverts with difficulty focusing, a good choice for kids and adults with ADHD or those that just go and go and go. Valerian is found in many sleep formulations because it can help release us into sleep. It is best for those who are tense and tired. It relaxes tension in the muscles, making it a good choice for those with spasms, cramps, and tension headaches. Note, it can take up to 10 days for the sleep-promoting effects to be realized. California poppy is my go-to herb for those who are stressed out, depressed, and cannot sleep because of pain. It has mild pain-relieving properties, eases anxiety, and helps induce restful sleep. Effective and safe, it is not addictive like its cousin, the opium poppy. Hops are my choice for those who really need to sleep but find themselves lying awake at night, worried about all kinds of things. Nervine tonics. These are herbs that nourish and support the nervous system. We have no equivalent in Western medicine. Traditionally, these remedies were used when there was actual physical damage to the nerves and for those who were emotionally exhausted and overwhelmed. Here are three of my favorites. Milky oats is a classic nervine tonic. It is my go-to tonic for those who are mentally and spiritually tired, not depressed, just spent. I've seen this in many caregivers, healers, and pastors. Skullcap is best for those who are easily upset and easily overwhelmed. It is one of my top herbs for those who do not handle stress well. Note, make sure you purchase from a reputable company as adulteration has occurred. St. John's wort strengthens and nourishes those who are mildly depressed. I've found it to be highly beneficial for those who grew up with little sense of personal boundaries, always becoming enmeshed in the emotional needs of others, and then feeling overwhelmed and depressed. It's best for those not taking prescription drugs, as it can interact with many. You can make teas or tinctures from these herbs based upon which one resonates with you. For young children, stick with chamomile, lemon balm, milky oats, and skullcap. Adaptogens. Adaptogens are the other category of herb that should have a prominent place in our modern herbal pharmacy. Soviet researchers coined the term back in the 1960s while looking for substances that could increase the productivity of laborers, soldiers, and scientists without causing them harm. Over the last 20 years, I have increasingly used adaptogens in my practice and have seen amazing results when taken over time. Although there are many adaptogens, I would like to share a few of my favorites with you. Ginseng is considered by many to be the classic adaptogen. In traditional Chinese medicine, Asian ginseng is prescribed for those with low energy, a tendency to feel cold, and a lack of sex drive. Studies have shown ginseng improves erectile dysfunction in men and mood and quality of life in women transitioning through menopause. Ashwagandha is considered a rasayana, or rejuvenating tonic, in Ayurveda, the traditional medical system of India. I think of ashwagandha for those who are wired and tired, exhausted by 7 p.m. but unable to sleep, and suddenly wide awake with a racing mind once they lie down. Rhodiola has been used in the traditional medicine systems of Eastern Europe and Asia for more than 3,000 years, believed to increase energy, decrease depression, eliminate fatigue, and prevent high-altitude sickness. This is my go-to herb for those with fatigue, mental fog, maybe a bit of depression, and difficulty concentrating. I have had patients with chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia tell me it worked wonders for them. You might find taking one of these adaptogens helpful if you're feeling under a great deal of stress. I generally recommend them for a period of 2 to 3 months, long enough to get the benefits. Can you take them longer? Well, yes, but they should be part of a holistic approach to managing stress. I don't think it's wise to use an herb or a drug in place of doing all the things that will allow us to experience good health. Insomnia. Roughly half of all Americans struggle with occasional insomnia. You might not be sleeping well for many reasons. However, the vast majority of insomnia is due to lifestyle choices and stress. And what's more, chronic stress and insomnia can lead to many unhealthy daytime behaviors that further aggravate both problems. When tired, people often consume more caffeine and high-sugar, high-fat foods in an attempt to feel more energetic. Individuals are also less likely to exercise because they feel too tired. Insomnia decreases one's ability to concentrate and focus, making job and school performance suffer. More alarmingly, it may increase the risk for heart disease and obesity. Studies published in leading medical journals suggest that sleep loss may increase hunger and affect the body's metabolism, making it more difficult to maintain or lose weight. The good news, though, is that you can do many, many simple things that will help you manage your stress and improve sleep. Practical tips for beating insomnia. Light. The timing and type of light we're exposed to can have a dramatic influence on our sleep. Exposure to natural daylight is vitally important for keeping your internal clock in sync. The blue light of the sun suppresses the production of melatonin, telling your body it is time to be up and awake. As night begins to fall, it's just as important to start dimming the lights so your melatonin levels begin to rise. Dimmer switches on lamps and lights are a great way to accomplish this. Either commit to turning off your computers and mobile devices 2 to 3 hours before bed, or install software that will shift from blue light to red light as evening approaches. F-Lux is one example of free software that you can use. You can also purchase special blue light blocking glasses online that are worn from around 7 p.m. to bedtime. Great option for those who must do late night work or studies. Invest in blackout curtains or thick drapes to shut out light at night, and if you're a light sleeper, use a fan or white noise machine. Alcohol. If you're waking up in the middle of the night and are having a hard time going back to sleep, it might be that second glass of wine you had with dinner. Although alcohol may help you fall asleep, it prevents you from going into the deepest stages of sleep, leaving you awake at night and tired in the morning. For 2 weeks, don't drink any alcohol within 3 hours of going to bed, and limit yourself to no more than one serving if you're a woman and 2 servings if you're a man. Exercise. Many people exercise at night after work because it's the only time in the day that really works. But exercise gets your adrenaline pumping and raises your body temperature, exactly the opposite of what you want to fall asleep. If you're having a problem sleeping and you exercise in the evening, do a 2-week trial of not exercising within 3 hours of bedtime. In other words, if you want to be in bed sleeping by 10, finish your workout by 7. Medication check. Many medications can interfere with sleep. Drugs used to treat high blood pressure, heart disease, asthma, allergies, and depression are a few of the categories known to be problematic. You can usually take other options, so make sure to talk to your healthcare provider and/or pharmacist. Snoring. If someone has told you that you snore or snort at night and you wake up feeling tired most mornings, you might have a condition called sleep apnea. Treatments are available, so tell your physician about your symptoms and ask if a sleep study would be right for you. Restless legs. Restless leg syndrome is a neurological condition characterized by unpleasant sensations, for example, crawling, creeping, pulling in the legs, and an overwhelming need to move them, particularly when trying to relax. The cause is not entirely known, but iron folic acid or magnesium deficiency can bring it on. Stretching and yoga postures can be very helpful, as can 400 to 600 milligrams of magnesium taken at night before bed. Natural remedies for sleep. You can use a number of remedies to help you sleep better at night, but don't expect miracles if you're racing 100 miles an hour until your head hits the pillow, and then you think a tincture or pill is going to magically knock you out. Medicines that can do that are almost always addictive and have side effects. The key is to prepare for sleep by getting plenty of sunshine and exercise during the day, eating lightly in the evening, and slowing down around 2 hours before bed. Melatonin is a hormone made by your body's pineal gland that is part of your internal clock. During the day, melatonin is barely detectable. As darkness falls, the pineal gland begins to secrete melatonin. Your body temperature begins to slightly drop, you feel less alert, and you get ready for sleep. Melatonin levels stay elevated for 10 to 12 hours, falling as the sun rises. People with delayed sleep phase syndrome have difficulty falling asleep until late at night or early in the morning. Think teenagers. Studies show that both melatonin and early morning bright light exposure can be helpful for correcting this type of sleep problem in kids and adults. Magnesium and calcium. Taking your magnesium and calcium before bed can be a winning combination for those with muscle tension and difficulty sleeping. Take 300 milligrams calcium and 300 milligrams magnesium about 30 to 45 minutes before bed. L-theanine is a non-protein amino acid that occurs naturally in the tea plant and contributes to its pleasant taste. In Japan and other Asian countries, it is widely used to treat anxiety symptoms and depressed mood, and its popularity is growing in the United States. I typically recommend L-theanine throughout the day for those who have difficulty sleeping because of tension and worry. Take 100 to 200 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day for tension and anxiety and to promote better sleep. We move to healing the gut. More than 2,000 years ago, Hippocrates, the famous Greek physician, said that all disease begins in the gut. I'm pretty sure that not all diseases start in the gut, but I've found that many conditions improve when gut health is optimized. Our digestive system is complex. It has its own independent nervous system called the enteric nervous system, ENS, often referred to as the second brain. The ENS is composed of more than 100 million neurons embedded within the gut wall, stretching from the esophagus to the anus. The ENS is the conductor in the symphony that is digestion. Because the gut is so richly innervated, emotions impact its function. When you feel scared or upset, your brain triggers the release of stress hormones, preparing your body to fight or flee. The ENS responds by slowing or shutting down digestion and elimination. This makes sense. It would be highly counterproductive to have to stop and go to the bathroom in the middle of a dangerous situation, or waste precious resources on processing dinner. The ENS produces neurotransmitters, hormones, and other compounds that are very similar to those found in the brain. It's long been observed that people with anxiety and depression often complain of gastrointestinal GI problems, but research now suggests that it could be GI distress that triggers these mental states. Make no mistake, learning to manage your stress is a crucial part of improving your gut health, as well as enhancing your vitality overall. Learn to manage your stress by using meditation, movement, music, breathwork, forgiveness, and wholesome foods. In addition to these strategies, many herbs can be of benefit. It might surprise you to know that your intestines are composed of a vast, diverse, and enormously complex community of microbes, commonly referred to as your gut microbiota, and collectively referred to as the microbiome. More than 100 trillion microorganisms call the GI tract home. Microbes actually outnumber our own cells. In some respects, we're more bacteria than human. The microbiota are responsible for extracting and synthesizing vitamins and other nutrients from our food, regulating digestion, metabolism, and elimination. Fine-tuning the immune system, preventing the overgrowth of harmful bacteria, and maintaining the integrity and barrier function of the intestinal wall. There's a great deal you can do to improve your intestinal health. Science has shown that lifestyle and diet definitely affect the diversity of our gut microbiota. Removing any problematic foods in the diet is important because chronic stress suppresses the growth of beneficial bacteria. Learning to manage stress is vital. Adding more fermented and fiber-rich foods to the diet and taking a probiotic, prebiotic supplement can also do wonders. Probiotics are living microorganisms that have a beneficial effect on intestinal health. These can be found in numerous dietary supplement products. Yogurt, kombucha tea, kefir, and other fermented foods are good sources of probiotics that can be easily added to your diet. Prebiotics are a category of non-digestible nutritional compounds that promote the growth of beneficial gut bacteria. Prebiotic substances can be found in foods like garlic, onions, artichokes, asparagus, jicama, and burdock. The term symbiotic is used to describe foods or products that contain both prebiotics and probiotics. Breast milk could be considered symbiotic. I encourage all of my patients to include fermented foods and prebiotics in their diet. I recommend symbiotics for infants born by C-section, prematurely, or whose mothers received antibiotics during delivery. I also recommend them for those who have allergies, asthma, eczema, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, or recurrent vaginal infections, or who travel internationally or have taken antibiotics. Nausea and vomiting settle your stomach naturally. Although unpleasant, the ability to vomit is a highly important part of our body's defense system. This ancient and highly protective response is designed to defend the body against poisons. Messages are sent from the gut, the inner ear, and/or the chemoreceptor trigger zone, CTZ, to the vomiting center in your brain, which interprets the information and determines whether or not vomiting should be initiated. Nausea, that sick feeling you get before vomiting, is intended to prevent you from eating or drinking in case something is wrong with the food or beverage. Ginger for prevention. Plenty of science supports ginger as a terrific stomach settler. Ginger is a popular home remedy for indigestion and has been clinically studied and found effective for relieving morning sickness and motion sickness. Dried ginger is a more potent antiemetic than fresh ginger, although both can ease nausea. If you don't like the taste of ginger tea, candied ginger works really well. Just suck on it as you would a piece of hard candy. I've also had patients swear by old-fashioned ginger snap cookies. Peppermint ice cubes. Peppermint is an old and trusted remedy, especially as a tea for easing nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea. But over the years, I've found that the smell and the taste of hot tea can be overwhelming for some folks. A wonderful alternative is peppermint ice chips. They go down easily, work amazingly well, and taste delicious. Make them ahead of time and keep them on hand in your freezer. Use peppermint infusion to make ice cubes, then put them in a blender to break them into pieces. Suck on them slowly or use a spoon and let a small amount melt in your mouth. Peppermint ice cubes help lower fever, ease nausea, and leave your mouth and throat feeling cool and fresh. I've used these for my patients, kids, and myself over the years. You can safely consume them during pregnancy, and they are perfectly safe for toddlers and children. Chamomile is also a wonderful and soothing herb if you feel sick to your stomach, especially when the nausea is accompanied by diarrhea. Chamomile soothes, protects, and eases spasms in the stomach and intestines. It's also a nice calmative, making you feel a little better when you're feeling bad. Chamomile is very safe and is my herb of choice when looking for something to settle an infant's upset tummy. Most of us have battled diarrhea at some point. Those loose, watery stools are usually caused by infections that don't last long and are more of a nuisance than a danger for most healthy people. Gastroenteritis, an inflammation infection of the GI tract, generally lasts 1 to 3 days and can be easily managed by staying hydrated while it runs its course. However, diarrhea can be dangerous for the very young, the very old, and those with serious underlying disease. Preventing dehydration is the number one priority, and the kind of fluid you use is important. In infectious diarrhea, the lining of the intestine becomes inflamed, impairing its ability to absorb water. When you drink water, it travels down through the intestines unabsorbed, resulting in even more diarrhea. If you put salt in the water, essentially the same thing happens. Roughly 40 years ago, researchers discovered that the absorption of salt is linked to glucose, which means that by simply adding sugar, the salt and water are absorbed, and the body can be rehydrated. This discovery led to the development of sports drinks, such as Gatorade, and children's oral rehydration solutions like Pedialyte. Babies should not be given sports drinks for rehydration because they do not contain the correct ratio of ingredients. In addition to these fluids, anyone suffering from diarrhea should also drink generous amounts of water, rice water, diluted fruit juice, one part juice to three parts water, and/or herbal teas. Rice water is excellent for hydrating the body and slowing diarrhea. It's also very easy to make. Sounds like you put 1 cup of white rice into 4 cups of water and bring to a boil, cover, turn down the heat, and simmer for 20 minutes. Then strain the milky water and drink throughout the day. If it's just too bland for you, you can add 1/2 cup of chicken broth for flavor. And that's where we will leave our reading from the National Geographic Healing Remedies today. Thank you for tuning in to Sound Body. Stay well and please come back next week for more healthy living ideas. This has been Sound Body, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm Louise Craig, and I hope you'll join me again next week for more health updates and information for healthy living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.